Happy Wednesday, everybody. We hope that you're having a great week, and thank you, as always, for starting your day with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. We've got some great listener questions sent in by you, including a question from listener Ashley about whether it's worth $53 extra to stay at Art of Animation, or if she should take that money and put it towards a Rivers of Light dining package. Here are answers and more on today's show, but first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to a mere dozen, 12 days to go until we head down to Disney's French Quarter Resort. I can see the old Wicked Witch there peeking out from behind the cottage on Seven Dwarves Mine Train right there on my iPhone. I see the text counting me down to the Be Our Guest podcast cruise trip, and I can customize the colors and so much more. You can do the same. Get excited for your next trip every time you get a call, send a text, or post to social media. It's right there where your attention is. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1187 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. We hope that your day is going well. Welcome to the official start to summer. Turned summer, yesterday. So, getting hot everywhere in the country, and nothing better to do than to talk some Disney. Grab your phone, listen under a nice shade tree with some lemonade. Got some great Disney talk for you today. So joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
I just want to say that I love you guys. You guys are awesome. And that's it. Can you feel the love?
I guess. Happy Valentine's Day to you too here in June, I guess. I don't know.
In June. Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's June. That's okay, right. Good.
Save that stuff for February.
Yeah, when it's cold, sorry, wrong month. That's wrong it. Month. My bad.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but soon to be the Western Caribbean. What's up, Pam Forrester?
I know, right? Why can't we record when we're someplace a little more exotic than in, well, in my case, in Pittsburgh? I mean, you know, I like Pittsburgh and all, but it's not a very exotic location. I don't know that I'll be able to, like, take pictures of myself in Pittsburgh and post them on Facebook so people can be jealous, right? Isn't that a thing? Where you, like, post pictures of where you are and people are jealous? I don't
know. Yeah, nobody's jealous of what's going on over here. Let's just be honest. Nobody. Nobody.
Ricky, though, I gotta say, Ricky, you have the coolest thing going in the United States right now at SunTrust Ballpark. You have beat the freeze at baseball games. That is the I want a shot at the freeze.
Really? I really don't want to talk about my experience at the SunTrust Ballpark because I had probably one of the worst experiences ever trying to find my seat. But it was legitimately terrible. I walked around the stadium for an hour looking for my seat. But
it had to have been, Pam, because the thing was, I got a notification on my Apple Watch that said, Ricky has closed all three of her activity circles. I'm like, Ricky did? Then I texted her. She's like, yeah, I'm lost in SunTrust Park. I can't find my seat.
I can't find my seat. I swear to you, that's what happened. Because they did not label my section correctly. And that is all I will say about that. And literally nobody could help me find my seat. So I walked around the entire stadium multiple times. I did beat the freeze thanks to the courtesy of TV, you know, because they show it on, you know, the TVs at, in the park. And that night, the guy actually did win. He beat the freeze.
I saw that, yeah. He smoked it. They gave him too big of a lead. That wasn't really right. But anyway, I'm just saying, just be on the podcast cruise. There may be a beat the buzz coming at you. Because
it seems like a terrible idea.
We may have a Buzz Lightyear costume floating around somewhere. And we may have somebody take a head start and try to have to beat the buzz on deck four. I'm just saying.
No.
We're going to get off the ship. Anyway.
You're going to throw it off. Yes.
I know. All right, we're going to be overboard. All right, Ashley's got the first question today. Let's get to it. That's why you're here. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I'm a longtime listener and have written in a couple times before. Your advice has always helped me when planning my Walt Disney World vacations, and I love listening to the podcast on my long drives to and from work every week. In October, I'll be doing 2018. I'll be going on a land and sea Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line trip. This year will be different from others, as it will be our first mother-daughter-only vacation. Our trip will consist of an overnight stay at Walt Disney World the night before the cruise, with Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, a four-night cruise on the Disney Dream, then another two-night stay at Walt Disney World with some more park time. My daughter has been asking to stay in the Art of Animation Little Mermaid rooms for a while now, and I plan on doing so this trip. We'll be driving down and won't be arriving until around noon on our pre-cruise day, which leads to my listener question. She has two. One, is it worth spending the extra $53 to stay the first night at Art of Animation since we won't be at the resort very long? We'll only be there long enough to drop our bags, change into our Halloween costumes, and then leave for 4 p.m. For the opening of the Magic Kingdom to party guests? Or should I just stay that first night at All-Star Movies and save that money for something else, perhaps to put it towards a dining package for Rivers of Light? I know $53 doesn't sound like much, but this time money will be a bit tighter than our last trips. Okay, let's stop there. So she has one other question. $53 to stay at Art of Animation, knowing that they're not going to really see much of the resort. They could go to movies and kind of have, they're going to have a bed, they're going to have a shower, they're going to have a place to change, they're going to have a place to put their luggage. Pam, what would you do? $53 to get at Art of Animation or go with movies in this instance?
I would spend the $53, I think. I think it just, you know, makes it... It's easy peasy. I know that you know, $53 of $53. I totally get that, but I'm all about the convenience. And I just, there's something about Art of Animation and those rooms. Those rooms are at a premium. Like, people love those rooms. So I think it's really kind of adds to the experience too. So something to think about there.
That's I mean, if your daughter's asking for it, what you're going to do is you're going to make your daughter's day, because that night, I mean, there will be an excitement as you get back to the room before your cruise. Your daughter's in that room. Personally, if it was me, I'd probably say go movies, because you're not going to spend a lot of time at the resort. But then again, for $53, you're really going to kind of spoil your daughter. Ricky, how about a tiebreaker on this one? What would you do?
I don't know. I think I might save the money too. You know, just because you're not going to be in the room for very much. But I see your point, Mike, when you say, you know, it would make your daughter's day to stay there. So it really is a tough conundrum. But if it was me, I personally would save the money.
Well, when you put it as like she did, like, okay, not $53, but if it's a Rivers of Light dining package that maybe you couldn't swing, or this, I would go movies in the Rivers of Light dining package. So it's... You can't make a bad decision here, though, but...
No, definitely. I don't think there's a wrong decision. It's just what you want to, you know, spend your money on, so...
All right, number two, I'm unsure if I want to go to the parks the day we arrive back from the cruise. I've never been to Port Canaveral and don't know how long it takes to get off the ship and back to Walt Disney World from there. We'll be driving and parking at the port, so no waiting on transfers. What are some reasons why this would or wouldn't be a good idea? We don't have annual passes, so this extra park day will cost us another $190, and we plan on doing Animal Kingdom from rope drop to park close the next day. My daughter loves going to Disney Springs, so taking advantage of our resort that day, in addition to some light shopping sightseeing, might be worth the money saved. I look forward to hearing your advice, and thank you all for all you do, bringing a little Disney magic to us every week in between our trips. Ashley's in Rome. Oh, wait, Georgia. I thought she was
hey.
I thought we had somebody from Italy. Nope, just Georgia. Love Georgia. There's nothing wrong with Georgia. I know Ricky. Sorry.
That's right. I'm a Georgia resident now.
I know you.
Officially.
Don't. Apparently, you don't have fast internet, but you got stuff down there. You got
redneck ocean. I have a house now.
Anyway, so I've driven to the port many times. Now that I'm a flyer, I don't do that. I arrive by private transfer. Just kidding. Oh, I do, Lord. But it's just going to be a van. It's not van. Last year it was a party bus. So the economy has scaled back this time. So it's going to be like a church van, I think, this time. But anyway, when you park at the port, it is really simple to get to your vehicle and get out of there. I would say typically you're off the ship by the latest 8:30 or so. And you could probably be, if you're driving yourself, you could be to Walt Disney World by 9:30 conservatively, probably 9:15. By the time you know, if you're going to check in, like to a resort that day, of course, that's going to eat up X amount of time, probably about 45 minutes to an hour to drop your luggage, check in, and then they'll text you later when your room's ready. Your room probably wouldn't be ready that early. But I like the route. If your daughter is a fan of Disney Springs, make that your Disney Springs day, because that way you're not, you know, the night before you come back to port at Port Canaveral, you're not thinking, okay, it's got to be a race, you know, because I want to be there at rope drop. But Disney Springs doesn't have a rope drop. You know, you don't have a reason to be there at, you know, 10 o'clock or 10:30. It's going to be similar, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. It doesn't matter. You have lunch there. You do some shopping. You go back and do some resort hopping. You go play putt-putt. For $190, I would save that and do Disney Springs. So, Ricky, what do you say to that proposition?
I think it depends on one question. Are you going to spend more than $190 on things at Disney Springs?
But you get stuff. You know what I'm saying? You're coming home with things. I don't know. Well, you're probably.
Yeah, but you get to come home with memories. That's and true. The fact That's that you're true. Riding attractions at, you know, at if you go to the park. So my theory is, if you think you're going to spend more than $190 on stuff while you're at Disney Springs, not food, because you'd end up having to eat either place. So don't count that. But just on like merchandise stuff, then I say go into the park. But if you don't think you'll spend that much, then yeah, go to Disney Springs. I think that'll be fantastic.
All right, Pam, what would you do? $190 to get that extra day in the park? I mean, while in Rome, right? No, just kidding. Actually, she's not going to be in Rome.
I am a big advocate of always building in some downtime to a vacation.
And yes, Pam is.
And that downtime could be a day at Disney Springs. It could be hanging out by the pool, whatever the choice is. But I think there's a lot of value in actually taking some time outside of the parks. And if you really feel like you want to be close to the parks, even though, you know, you aren't in them, you know, pick a place where you can see the fireworks in the evening, you know, the Magic Kingdom fireworks, maybe a dining location or something else, but save the money, I think, on that park day and try that.
That's what I would do, you know, because I think the thing is, it's going to stress you out, because you're going to, once you say, I have to spend $190 on this day in a park, all of a sudden you're thinking, man, we just lost 2 hours. We just lost $35 or $40 or what, you know, break it down per. Disney Springs takes all that pressure off, you know, and the parks are going to be there. So I would, and Disney Springs is more, if you haven't been there lately, Disney Springs has so much, and I'm not even a shopper. I hate to shop. I online shop on Amazon. Remember, use our link, but I don't, you know, and I enjoy Disney Springs. There's lots of entertainment, lots of good places to eat, even snacky places. You know, you got, what's that? The Polite Pig. You got the what's that? Poutine, the stuff on the fries.
All kinds
of, yeah, there you mm-hmm. go. All kinds yep. of sweets. You got
Amaret's Patisserie has some Sprinkles. Wonderful desserts.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, because you got to, you know what? They're coming off a cruise, right? I mean, you got to wean yourself. Like,
sure.
You've been having, like, snacks 24-7 for however long your cruise was. You know, like, you got to get used to not having an ice cream machine at your disposal. That's rough. Yeah,
or at least you either have to get used to it or supplement.
You gotta do like, something. It's so
buy
bad.
Buy snacks every 15 minutes.
I have to eat dessert or something sweet after my meals for like a month after going on a cruise. I am not kidding. Like, I get done eating, and I'm like, okay, I need like a Mickey bar, like a candy bar. I don't know, like a cookie, something. Anyway. All right, let's see. Leslie Ann has the next question. Hi, Mike, BOGP team. Greetings from a Southern Californian. I'm a Disneyland veteran and hope that Mike gets out here soon to visit Disneyland. I'm going to try. Don't miss out on Buzz Lightyear's Astro Blasters, as it's roughly a million times better than the Walt Disney World version. I know you'll love it and look forward to your trip report, hopefully in the near future. I'm trying. I'll get out there, Leslie. I'll have to say hi. I love your podcast and have been listening since we planned our first trip in 2014. I never thought I'd be asking a question, but I'm stressing out, so I thought I'd give it a shot. My family and I have visited Walt Disney World twice, but both times we were there in mid-September and the crowds were very low. Fast passes were really just a bonus since the wait times were quite low at that time of the year. In 2015, we think that Tropical Storm Erica may have had something to do with the low wait times. It was hot, wet, and muggy, but we never waited more than 30 minutes in a standby line. We're planning a trip during Christmas week, and I know full well that it's one of the busiest, if not the busiest time of the year. But we're looking forward to cooler temperatures compared to September, and really want to see the holiday decorations. Here's my question. We have park hopper tickets for the first time, so right now the plan is to do rope drop at one park, leave for a midday break, then go to another park in the evening, and utilize our 3 fast passes in the park for the evening. My husband knows that sometimes you can book additional fast passes after you use the first three. So he's wondering if we should do rope drop, use our fast passes in the morning, then try to book additional fast passes for the second park. I think this is risky, and at best we'll be getting fast passes for attractions that we don't want or necessarily need. I'd love to hear your ideas on using fast passes during a busy season when the plan is to park hop, first park or second park. Thanks for all you do, Leslie. All right, Leslie, well, thanks for writing in. I'm going to get out to Disneyland, I promise. We've been talking about this a lot lately here in the Rallman household. You know, I think this email could honestly be its own show, to be honest, because my strategy for fast passes has changed over the last couple of years. And it was what your husband is suggesting. I used to say, get up at rope drop, go to a park until lunch, no fast passes, just, you know, take advantage that the crowds aren't there. Take a break and then have your three fast passes at the park where you're going to have dinner at night. So say you finish up at Epcot with like dinner at Teppanito. Well, then try to get Soarin, Spaceship Earth, and maybe Illuminations or, you know, whatever, Maelstrom back in the day, whatever it was. That worked out great because your night was just set. You had dinner and three fast passes. Man, that was the easiest night in the world. And you put in your work in the morning. However, with the rolling fast passes, I'm starting to shift to say, you know, maybe like late morning is the time to use your fast passes, because then you can use them in the evening. But I think you don't have to go exclusive on either one of these. You could kind of see, you know, maybe one night you're going to be at Epcot or one night you're going to be at the studios at night. And that's where, like, you know, you really want to do Toy Story and Tower, you know, or something like that. So I don't know, Pam, what would you say to this kind of situation? Is it an all or nothing, or should you kind of do it as the situation dictates?
I tend to do what you do, Mike. And that is we get there in the morning. We don't use FastPass Plus for a while. We might start our FastPass Plus around 10:30, 11 o'clock, because really prior to that, we can get a lot done without even having to use any FastPasses, because just folks don't show up that early. I mean, that's just how it, that's just really how it is. So that's something to think about. I rarely go with the point of trying to make additional FastPass Plus arrangements, because after using the first three, it just isn't something I typically do. I do every now and then, but it's just something that I don't typically do. So,
all right, Ricky, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, because you are a huge advocate of the rolling FastPass. I know you take advantage of that quite a bit, I think, on your trips.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. Did they say like what time they'd be going to the second park? I missed that part.
They're going to take a mid-afternoon. And again, this is during Christmas. Yeah, I think it's Christmas and New Year's. The crazy week. They're going to take a break midday and go back, I guess, I'd say around dinner time maybe.
Oh, that's so tough, because you really can. So during that heavy Christmas time period, I will tell you that, you know, the parks will be open earlier. Usually it depends on what days you're going. But I know like Christmas Day and the week after Christmas and stuff like that, the parks actually open, you know, earlier than usual. And then if you have extra magic hours on top of that, then they usually open at like 7-ish. So you can usually get a lot done the first few hours, especially because, you know, a lot of people are still sleeping in and are like me, and they don't roll up until 10, 11 o'clock. So, you know, even on a busy time like Christmas. So I guess it depends kind of on when they plan on getting to the park. If they plan on doing the early stuff, then I say make their fast passes for the second park that they plan on going to, because they're going to be able to get quite a bit done in that morning before they leave. But if they don't, and if they get in, you know, somewhere between, I don't know, anywhere after 9 o'clock, then I say make the fast passes for the first park and then, you know, go hopefully with the rolling fast pass. The problem with the rolling fast passes, though, especially during a busy time like that, is you're not going to be able to get usually True. The headliner stuff. So you're, you know, depending on I find the park that the rolling fast pass actually works the best in is the Magic Kingdom, to be perfectly honest. 100%. I can usually work around that there. That's so, exact, yep. I have a little harder time at Epcot, you know, Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, especially Hollywood Studios right now. But, you know, that's kind of my thought process on the whole thing, is it depends kind of really what time they're planning on getting there.
That's good
and
advice.
What time they're taking their break.
And you know what? I will, thinking about this more, with it being the Christmas week, I would say do your fast passes at night. Because the thing is, you're right, you're not going to have much left over. I mean, if you want fast passes in the evening, if you're not just going for the atmosphere and to go see, you know,
right,
the Christmas stuff at Epcot, you know, stuff like, I was going to say the Osborne Lights. Yeah, I'm going to see that. But
nope.
Unless you're going to like Silver Dollar City or something. But yeah, I would say in the evening, because the thing is, like, you're going to get a lot. If you really are truly there, like 30 minutes before rope drop, and you're ready to go with the first group of guests in the park that morning, you're going to get a lot done between there and lunchtime. So yeah, your morning's going to be relatively successful. With fast passes in the evening, even with the big crowd, you're going to be successful and you're going to have your dinner there. So you have a successful day pretty much guaranteed. But if you're banking on, you know, going into that second park at night with zero fast passes, man, that could turn out not so pretty. You're right. Especially places other than the Magic Kingdom. So I would say get them at night. But yeah. So, all right. Next question comes from Erica. She says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. My husband, Zach, and I listen to nearly every episode, and I'm constantly making changes to our itinerary based on your advice." Couple things there. Why are you only listening to nearly every episode?
I mean,
that's a problem. And don't change your itinerary based on our advice. You hear us. No. We go back and forth all the time. We'll change our mind 5 minutes from now. Don't do that. Use a pencil, at least, with an eraser. Our next trip to the world is this September, and when choosing a hotel, our heart was set at staying at the Grand Floridian at least one time before starting a family. We booked using DVC points, and the Grand Floridian wasn't available for the entire trip, so we decided to do a split stay. The first two nights will be in a studio at Bay Lake Tower, and then move to a one-bedroom villa at the Grand Floridian for the remaining five nights. This is the first time we're doing a split stay, and I'm wondering how will this affect both our Magic Bands and our ability to make FastPass reservations? Is the system advanced enough to recognize that we have two different hotel reservations on one Magic Band? And will we be able to book FastPasses for the entire trip on the first day we check in? Or will I have to book FastPasses in two different batches? Thanks for your help, Erica. Erica, let me just tell you, in the last week, I've gotten three sets of Magic Bands at this house for next month. It's so sad because we're staying at three hotels. So we're doing a split stay. Anyway, Pam, you're great at this. Explain to Erica what she has in store. Split stays are awesome, to be honest.
They are. My family does them every time we travel. In fact, when we're going to be there both before and a little after the cruise, we are going to be staying at Universal, two hotels prior to the cruise and one hotel after the cruise. So, I mean, you know, I realize this is my business and maybe not everyone travels exactly the way I do, but that just tells you about, you know, how often we bounce around, just because I think it makes for an interesting vacation with new experiences each time we change to a different hotel. So having said all of that, first of all, I know this is really confusing, but there is nothing attached to your Magic Band other than your My Disney Experience account. Your Magic Band does not know what hotel you are staying at. Well, it does, but only because of your My Disney Experience.
Whoa. It's a Magic Band. This thing knows all. It knows my wrist dimensions.
It knows
my innermost desires. It does. Come on, don't ruin the magic. Stop it.
So here's what's important. You need to look in your My Disney Experience and make sure that both of your resort reservations are listed there and you can see them. And you also need to look in the Magic Band portion of your My Disney Experience account and make sure whatever Magic Band you want to use or whatever Magic Bands you want to use, because you can use more than one at the same time, is active and seeing that as well. As long as you do that, then the system is smart enough to recognize what reservation that you're staying at, what part of your reservation you're in. So whether you're at this resort or whatnot, you don't have to use the Magic Band that came that you chose for that trip. You don't have to use that one. I use different ones all the time. I use ones from like 2 years ago. I use ones that I got last week. I use ones that, you know, are still coming to me when we're going to be down there in July. So don't worry about that part. The thing that you do want to think about is, you're absolutely right in terms of the FastPass, is that you will only be able to make those FastPass Plus reservations 60 days prior to the check-in for each of your hotel stays. That's just to try to keep everything fair. On Disney's side, they try to give guests, you know, equal access to that, and it will not let you choose more than you know, for both of your stays at that 60 days prior to the first stay. But that's okay. There'll be lots of availability in most cases. So don't worry about that. The other thing I want to have you do is when you're changing from one hotel to the next, the thing that I typically do is when I'm going to that second hotel, I stop in at the front desk, even if I wasn't planning on it, and I let them know, hey, I came from another Disney resort and I'm checking in here today. So I just want you to know that. There was typically an issue prior to, I don't know, I'm not sure when they put in a fix for this. And in most cases, it works. But there used to be an issue with that the system had trouble with that because it really showed you checked into two different places. So that's why I stop at the front desk, just to make sure there are no issues. And ever since I've been doing that, I don't have any when it comes to that. So hopefully that gives you all the little tips and tricks. But you'll be fine. It'll be great, and it'll be worth it to experience both of those hotels.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're going to have a good time because you're both in your area that you're looking to be in, Bay Lake Tower, Grand Floridian. You got the majority of the time in the resort you're looking for. You know, you may fall in love with Bay Lake Tower. It's good. You know, two nights is a good amount of time to stay there and check it out. And, you know, just like Pam said, I had a Magic Band that I used for almost 2 years for every single trip just because it had a Be Our Guest Podcast Lizard sticker on it. So I enjoyed that one. So like I never use my new ones. So, you know, you're right. All it is a way to basically contact the cloud where your My Disney Experience account is. Nothing more than that. So we're going to have to just call it the band. It's sad. It's not magic. No, I guess that's kind of isn't it magic when stuff's stored in the cloud? Like, I just want to see a cloud. You know what I'm saying? Like, that
it's
still
magic
blows
that
me
it
away.
Can access it.
That
I
is
think,
true. That
right?
is that's crazy. Anyway, Earl's got the next question. Hi, big fan of the show here. I love how each show during the week has a different focus. I learned a lot from you and your team. Well, not me, but you two more than me, probably. Mm-hmm. I just read, and I don't read very well. I got bad vision lately, so I don't know what's going on. I've heard you speak about Amazon Prime. See, here we go. Amazon.
See, there it is.
This is hard to say. Amazon Prime Pantry in the past, and have a few questions about it. My wife's 7-year-old daughter and I are flying down to Walt Disney World in late June for an 8-night, 9-day stay at Disney's Beach Club Resort, and we're thinking of ordering a few things from Prime Pantry. I can't spit that out. When heading to Walt Disney World, when should I place my Prime Pantry order? Also, once we place our order, how long should we expect to wait for it to arrive at our resort? In addition, will our order come to our room, or will we need to pick it up at the front desk? Thanks in advance, and keep up the good work with the podcast. Earl's in Denton, Maryland. All right, so I looked on my phone. So, and again, I haven't done this for a while, but I need to get on this because we're heading down in 2 weeks from last Monday. So we got 10 days, 11 days, no, 2 weeks, 12 days. It's summer. I don't even know the math. I don't care. It's soon. It's really soon. I promise. I'm going to be on that airplane that Monday night. Anyway, so Prime Pantry, I think, is the one where you got to order it like 7 or 8 days in advance and tell them when you want it to be delivered to your resort. The one that I really enjoyed on at Walt Disney World is called Prime Now. That's the 1-hour delivery. You know, so it doesn't have as many things. But you can actually get it delivered almost like a pizza. Like you fill up your cart and like it comes like in an hour or two. You pick a little slot of time and it shows up. I mean, fast. That's the one you can do like as needed while you're down at Walt Disney World, because it'll be there literally. Like you can go to dinner and it'll be back at your hotel when you get back. But if you use Prime Pantry, you do have to pick this up at the usually luggage services where like we ordered some Halloween costumes. Paige needed a costume because Scott and I were running as Buzz and Woody, and she wanted to run as Jessie. So we ordered it off Prime, got delivered to the baggage people. We had all kinds of sodas delivered there, like cases of soda, cereals, Rice Krispie treats, Pop-Tarts, stuff like that. It all came in boxes to the Boardwalk's luggage area, the baggage area. And we just went down. They sent us a message, and we went down and picked it up. We could have had it delivered to the room, but we just walked down and picked it up. So, Pam, have you done Prime and deliveries and all that at the resort? How'd it go for you?
Yes, 100 times over, yes. First of all, we use Amazon Prime to deliver. We have used them to deliver maybe a few snacks to our rooms, but typically it's like some electronic cord or whatnot that we've left at home.
Exactly.
And I have to. Like, it's like, you know, there's just certain thing, you know, for your phone or for your watch.
Your watch
or
every time. It's always the watch. Yeah, it's like, oh, I forgot that disc.
I know. So anyways, so we do that, but we've also used Prime Now and really enjoy that. And it's exactly like Mike talked about. It really is. So typically what I do is maybe like a few days before we're heading down, I stop at the Amazon Prime Now section, look up the zip code of where I'm going to be, the address, things like that. And then I put some stuff in my cart so that I'm ready to go as soon as I get on property.
And that's how you want to do it. You want to have all that stuff, even, the Prime Now is the one you can do the 1 hour delivery. Yeah, that's right. So
right.
Put that stuff in your cart so that, like, you could even, I mean, if you're really ambitious, like when you're on the Magical Express bus, you could do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it would almost be there when you get there. It's crazy.
Absolutely. But your room may not be ready. That's so true. That's the only thing. So.
Yep, that's true. All right. Well, good luck with that. And I appreciate the email. Let's get to Deanna's email. It says, hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Recently, my husband and kids were reminiscing. Well, I should play that song by Little River Band. It's one of my favorites. You guys know that song?
Yep.
Reminiscing. Hurry, don't be late. Anyway, recently my husband and kids were reminiscing about our amazing 2015 Disney trip. And the next thing we knew, we were booking a trip to go back again later this year. See, look at that Little River Band. Bam, you're going to Walt Disney World. My mother will bring my three nieces down to meet us all as well, making us a total group of nine. We have two family suites booked at Art of Animation from October 28th to November 3rd. I have a couple of questions regarding Halloween festivities. We're planning to attend Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party on November 1st and will not use our Park Hopper tickets that day. That day, we were also able to score an ADR for our whole party at Cinderella's Royal Table for 4 p.m. Do you think that we'll be allowed into the Magic Kingdom before 4 with our party ticket so that we can make it to CRT on time? Ricky, give them the news.
They won't let you in until 4 o'clock. Sorry.
I mean,
but
they'll still
hold your reservation at 4 o'clock. Like, it's not like if you're like a couple minutes late, they're not going to say, nope, you can't be seated. So, I mean, and you don't have to book it down there or anything like that. They'll, as long as you're around your time, they will, you know, they'll just take care of you.
Just run like you're playing Beat the Freeze all the way up Main Street, you know? Like,
no, okay. Don't do that.
Or, you know, we're always trying to give our listeners strategies. Like, find the cutest kid out of all these kids. You got a party of nine. You know, find the cutest one. Make googly eyes at the cast member at the touch points. Please, I got to see Cinderella. We have an ADR of 4. It still won't work. But it'll be a great picture. Anyway. Okay, so also, any ideas on how we can celebrate Halloween on the 31st? Will there likely be activities happening at our resort or anywhere else in the world? So, Ricky, you usually know what and I know it probably isn't out because I'll probably put it out like October 15th, but
yeah.
what do we
if
know?
Exactly, right? It'll be like October
28th. Exactly.
So, any hints, though, from stuff in the past? Do the resorts do? I mean, because they do like 4th of July stuff at select resorts and, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. So the resorts will more than likely have activities going on during the day, depending usually on holidays. I say usually, and it's got to be holidays proper, but usually there's a character or two that comes to the resorts. Can't count on that 100% because, like Pam and Mike alluded, Disney doesn't really put out what the resorts are doing until like the week of. So, I mean, you won't know anything until about that time, but usually they have stuff like that to do. I'm sure they'll have fun games and stuff like that around the pool deck area. So there's going to be stuff to do at the resort, 100%. They always have great stuff planned.
You know, just go to the Haunted Mansion at the Magic Kingdom if you're there. You know, that's a good way to celebrate. Just kind of a lightweight, you know, nothing special. But you could also go to Fort Wilderness and see the Halloween decorations in the campground. You know, that's something.
That's true. Everybody does some great stuff over there, I'm sure.
Yeah. I bet you could trick-or-treat around Fort Wilderness. I'm sure you could. I think those people would give out candy. I bet you they do. Let me know if you guys camp at Fort Wilderness on Halloween. I'm sure somebody does. One final question, she says, with all the parties that week, our nights to see Happily Ever After are limited. We're planning to watch from the beach at the Polynesian after a dinner at Kona one night. Do you think we can still appreciate the show from there? Pam, your thoughts on this? We're talking about this on Friday, actually, too, by the way. We're going to get more in depth.
It's challenging because there is a lot with the Happily Ever After show. There's a lot of it that takes place on the castle in terms of the castle has different projections on it. It fits with the different parts of the fireworks show. For me, I would want to experience, if this is your only time experiencing it during your trip, I would like to experience it from Main Street, I will just say. I think that's where you should see it the first time and then make decisions based on how you feel after that point. But I say see it once from Main Street.
All right. She says, thank you so much. Listening to every show gets me so excited to get back to Walt Disney World and make more memories with my family. D is in Ontario, Canada. And Ricky, see, now D listens to our every show. He was a listener a couple times ago, nearly every show. Now, if you're going to just listen to nearly every show, let me know the ones that you don't listen to so we can correct that problem. We want you always to be there. You know,
exactly.
When you're not there, we're like waiting. Like, I check that feed every night. I'm like, oh, Billy Bob hasn't downloaded the show yet. You know, I wonder what we did. Did we say something wrong? You know, Fred, where are you? Fred, you didn't get the Wednesday show.
I know.
I care, people. It breaks my heart when you don't download. All right, last question of the day. We're heading down to New Braunfels, Texas, our buddy Jimmy. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I have a Wilderness Lodge question for you. Trying to understand the new additions and updates. Do I understand correctly that Copper Creek Villas are the new waterside DVC rooms and Boulder Ridge is the updated Wilderness Lodge Villas? Do I have the names correct? Staying at Boulder Ridge Villas in November of 2017. Thanks for your help. Hope to see you soon, Jimmy, whose Astros are just red hot. Well, they've had a rough week, but they're still like 20 games ahead. So, Pam, so explain Copper Creek and Boulder Ridge over at Wilderness Lodge. What do all these mean?
Yes, Jimmy has it right. So the villas, what they used to be referred to as the villas at the Wilderness Lodge, are now the Boulder Ridge villas. And those will be just the traditional villa type accommodations at the Wilderness Lodge, both, as I understand it, in the main building and also and the building that used to be only reserved for villas. And then Copper Creek is going to be those little cabins that you have seen being built on the banks there of the lake. And they have various different sizes of villas available. And as I understand it, are different prices as opposed to the ones that are in the main buildings, but again, available there. So, yep, you have it right. And we'll be looking forward to seeing the quiet pool that is over there by the Villas building open up soon. I hear that it's not supposed to open until after our cruise, but from what I've heard, it is very close to being done. So we'll see if it'll be there.
And Ricky, here's the important question. Umbrella update at Geyser Point, speaking of this area. Any umbrellas yet? It's almost July.
No umbrellas yet.
I don't think there are any umbrellas yet.
Just there last week and there were no umbrellas. So
remember that giraffe they had the webcam on 24/7? We need a webcam on those tables. Like when they finally get umbrellas, like we can celebrate. We'll get Toys R Us to sponsor the webcam or something.
Exactly.
It's a good idea.
I like
it. All right. That's going to do it for, I don't know why I said that. That's going to do it for today's show. I'm glad we're done with that. So thanks for writing in. Always sending your questions to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's show, of course, it's Wednesday, brought to you by our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like the free iOS app, Theme Park News Disney Edition. Download it today, and you can read about stuff like this. Ricky, what's going on?
Well, at the Disney and Pixar Short Film Festival at Epcot, there are two brand new Academy Award-winning Pixar shorts that have joined the lineup. Excuse me. The first one is Feast, which is a story that follows the culinary adventures of a Boston Terrier named Winston, and Piper, a film about a hungry baby sandpiper learning to overcome her fear of the ocean. These will be shown alongside the classic Disney short film, Get a Horse.
I still boycott this because it's still the home of Captain EO, man. That
I know.
Still hurts. It's
you shouldn't boycott it. It's fun.
I can't. I need some meatloaf or something, you know?
Sorry, dear.
The days. No, but check it out. Great news. You know, it's a free iOS app. Nothing to lose. Way better than reading the cereal box. Also, grab Days to Go WDW. Get excited for the next trip. They're all over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. That's going to be lighting up here in about 12 days as I head down to Walt Disney World. Love sharing my trip with you guys. Also, drop by the Facebook group. We have an awesome Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And please do. And thank you to everybody who is doing this. You guys are doing tremendous. We appreciate it so much. When you buy anything on Amazon, please go through our Amazon affiliate link. Just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. You get all your Prime benefits, and it does help out the show quite a bit. So please, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon when you do your online shopping. All right, well, that's going to do it for today. We'll be back again on Friday, and we're talking about how to make the most of those late night, or not late night, but nighttime experiences down at Walt Disney World. We're talking Rivers of Light, Fantasmic, Illuminations, Happily Ever After. What kind of things do we need to think about to see the full experience to get the most out of our times this summer, especially down at Walt Disney World? So until then, we're going to get out of here and wish you a great Wednesday. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Hope you have a great midweek. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.